Much of the Bible is negative. It has to be, because it views the negative, and then the positive comes with the correction. Now, most recently, we have been looking at what we term the horizontal or lateral ministry of the Holy Spirit among the believers, or the bride of Jesus Christ. And we saw that before there could be a horizontal or a lateral moving of the Spirit of God, there had to be the individual moving of the Spirit of God upon each person who would be a member of Christ. And that one, there was the one and the same experience. There weren't two or three or four. Many people feel that there are many experiences in the Lord, but if you're born again, you're born again. That's all there is to it. Now, I know that people say one baptism, many fillings. We get that from Ephesians, based upon the book of Acts. And that is true, but there is only one baptism according to the Word of God, and those fillings are merely the people getting out of the way and coming to a fresher realization of the presence of Jesus Christ. As Brother Branham said it so perfectly and so truly, and this has been said by all the great ministers of God in the ages past, and it's the experience. You can't deny a true experience that the revelation of the presence of Christ is everything. That's why Brother Branham said, if a man is in the presence of God, he will not curse, he will not smoke, he will not drink, he will not do those things that that we know are wrong. Well, we are continuously, our soul is continuously in the presence of Christ. If so, we are baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, this baptism in with the Holy Spirit is where God Almighty irrevocably joins the individual to Himself. And then in that corporate body, the same Holy Spirit is to move through and amongst the individuals, particularly to the election, and then moving also to the unsaved, that perchance the one of those outside is called to be one of the election with them. Now, concerning the fact that Jesus has joined Himself to individuals by the Spirit, He said that none will perish, not one. Irrevocably, they are saved. And the same thought goes to the bride as a whole, that He will lose not one of those. In Ephesians, the first chapter, and in verse 10, it says that in the dispensation, the fullness of time, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, and we are all things. That there's not one that's not going to be gathered. There was not one that's going to miss the trump, as if, you know, we use the word trump to wake the dead. It's not exactly true, but it's all right. The not one is going to miss out in the first resurrection. Not one is going to fall short of being in the New Jerusalem. That's the irrevocable decision of God, that He would lose none pertaining to the individual, spreads over into the bride, and there's not one member ever missing. Now, this corporate group that we are looking at, all those that are born again, they're actually formed into one group. And in the Scripture, they're called the church. They're called the bride, the elect, the vine, the body of Christ. And often we find it designated as she, because when you use the word bride, automatically it's a feminine term. And this group is also called New Jerusalem. And in the book of Revelation, it's called the wife of the bride, which is the New Jerusalem. A wife of the Lamb, I'm sorry. Now, these appellations, which are many, and we're not going to look at each one of them because I don't feel I would want to do that at this time, describe that august and tremendous body, which is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the description by those names, you find privileges, responsibilities, and status outlined before you. Now, each individual, we said, in that group comes into Christ by the baptism with the Holy Ghost. And those individuals also have terms or titles or names, designations. One place called a son of God, another one a born one of God, another one a child of God. And this is a masculine designation. And that masculine designation infers and gives a responsibility to God, because each one must give an account to Almighty God. There's not one of us that doesn't give an account. And you'll notice that it is the male that gives the account. The woman must account to the man, and the man must account to God. And yet, in Christ, there is an accounting of both male and female. There's not one that misses that accounting because male and female is called a son of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. But I'm showing you here that though there is an individual responsibility to God per se by being born into Christ, the responsibility of the woman comes under the man in the church. There's a little difference there. But we're talking now of individual responsibility in Hebrews, the second chapter, and in verse 9. But we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every. Well, that's every man in there. That word man should not be in there, but it's down later in Scripture. And it says here, before it became him, for whom are all things and by whom, and bringing many sons into glory, to make the captain of their salvation. Now, if you've got a captain over you, it means that you have to be under authority to somebody. And so, therefore, these sons are responsible for the headship which is Christ. And every single person that's born again is responsible to Almighty God and must give an accounting at some future date. Over here again in the same book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verses 5 to 6, and have you forgotten the exhortation that speaketh unto you as unto children, my son? Now in here the word exhortation does not simply mean that someone's exhorting you, trying to put you right and trying to fuss at you and make you toe the line. The literal understanding that I have of this is the word to draw near, to help you, to edify you, to build you up. And so therefore, when you speak of being a son, you realize there are tremendous privileges granted you along with the responsibility. And it says, my son, despise not the training of the Lord, nor faint when thou rebuke to him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chastens. That's to train up. As the Greeks had a word for it, the child training and training is suffering and scourging. That doesn't mean to take a leather thong and just take all the meat off your back. The thought here is it won't be pleasant, because the Bible speaks of the trials of life being unpleasant, but later on they give the peaceable fruit of the Spirit. So God must deal with every single son. So therefore God accepts his responsibility to train you up, and you and I must accept our responsibility to be trained up. See? There is a responsibility to being a child of Almighty God. Again in 1 Corinthians, the third chapter, we look at these individuals that are being trained individually in a bride in order that that bride might be a true manifestation of him. And it says in the 12th verse, now if any, well, other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work should be burned, he'll suffer loss, but he himself should be saved, yet so is by fire. Know ye not that you're the temple of God? Now see what he's talking about? He brings it in there and says, don't you realize that you have been born again? You're full of the Holy Ghost. You're a child of God. You've got a responsibility here to pattern your life according to the blueprint that follows the foundation that Paul laid. And we know another foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ the righteous. You don't have any foundation in New Jerusalem unless you're born again. Then if you're born again of him who is the Word, there'll be a pattern that you can pattern your life upon. And every child of God then will want to adhere to that pattern to know that he is a part of the building. Now you can see then why the evidence of the Holy Ghost is how Brother Branham put it. What if there is a blueprint, and like there was in Solomon's temple, and somebody said, hey, I've got an idea. I just got a great idea. If I just cut this stone and do this stone a little bit here, I got a great idea now, and it'll be, it just make the temple look better. And when they shipped the stone in there, they took a look and they said, doesn't fit. See what we're talking about? Now there's a responsibility that comes with being a child of God, and God is going to see that we come into that realm of responsibility, because that's what malehood signifies. That's why we talk about manifested sons and adoption. It's never in the female gender, it's always in the male gender, because it infers, and doesn't just infer, it demands a responsibility. See? A responsibility. Now, and know ye not your temple of God? Even the Spirit of God dwells in you. And if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you sees the wise in this world, let him become as a fool. In other words, say, look, I don't know anything. It's about time I got to learn something. See? Now, that's in the scripture here that we're looking at, responsibility. Over here in Galatians again, the 6th chapter and verses 4 to 5, but let every man prove his own work, then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another, for every man shall bear his own burden. Now, a person can say, now, my wife's got a great, favorite saying, and I don't blame her. She worries about our children because our children saw one of these anointed ones in Canada many years ago. We lived in British Columbia. And he came along and he left his wife, ran off with a 16-year-old girl, and his mind was always full of sex and filth. And boy, but did he have a ministry. Now, one day my wife caught him telling a lie. And she said, now, brother, look, she said, that's not the way it was. Well, he said, what's the difference as long as somebody got helped and got healed? That's like Paul said, shall we tell a lie that that God might be further glorified? So she constantly talks about her son who died, who wanted to be a real Christian or nothing. Well, now, that's very good, and it is true that we can stumble people, and we can cause problems, and we will account for it. But our boy had to stand on his own two feet and come back to God at the last day, and then God took him. Now, look, let's not kid ourselves. I don't care. I've often told my kids, look, if your dad was the biggest drunkard in all the world, which I'm not a drinker, never have, and I treated you like the filth of the world and beat your head in, was rotten as rotten could be, you still have to stand on your two feet. You've got to realize that you are still responsible. Now, that's not saying that today. Now, let's get this straight. See, I don't care if anybody stumbles you. I don't care if you had a pastor ran with women and got all messed up. And he'll bear his burden. The scripture already says, be not many teachers, for theirs is a greater condemnation. There'll be in a stricter judgment. See, no matter what anybody does, you are responsible. You cannot float down the tide like a dead fish. You've got to be like that salmon that just fights the falls and goes with the clear water, gets right in there and lives. See? Now, we're going to see more of this in this message this morning, brother, sister. I'm trying to lay a foundation from Friday to get you to understand the spirit that's involved. Because as I told you, I believe God spoke to my heart when I preached this series back in August. And they own the church that I literally founded, though I have nothing to do with this pastor at all. That's another pastor's job. And this voice said to me, the church will go ahead or backward from this time on. Now, that's one reason I don't even want to preach to you, because when I'm through this morning, you are going to be at a crossroads as to what you do. And as I look around you and see you, and I know a lot of you people, let me tell you, your crossroads is tougher than you think it is. You are in pretty soon for a real tripping. You see, if you talk to your pastor, nope, and I'm not going to talk. But let me come back later and find out if I told you the truth. Let me find out. Okay? Now, remember this. You are responsible. Galatians 4 and 5. 6th chapter, 4 and 5, I read it. And then 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, and in verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that which he has done, whether it be good or bad. Now that, now this here, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also you're made manifest to your conscience. Now Paul is saying here, I know that we've got to give an account to God. And we've already seen the judgment of God in a man who had the Spirit of Christ with discernment come in amongst us. Now, I'm just going from my notes. I'm leaving my notes for a second. Now, I'm going to Hebrews, the 4th chapter. Get over here to the 12th verse. Now, watch. For the Word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder soul and spirit, even a joint and marrow, and a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His. Now, look. In verse 12, it said Word. But in 13 it says His, which is what? Christ. So therefore Christ the Word was amongst us, and you couldn't hide if you tried. Amen. Now, time after time, Brother Branham would look down at those people in the prayer line, and I remember one time in North Carolina, he was just plumb disgusted. Next morning, he, I guess, almost fit to vomit. He came with talking to me and Brother Ned Iverson, and he said, I don't understand. I just can't figure those Pentecostal preachers. He said, last night again, two men came in that line with other men's wives. Now look, the Spirit of God in a man that would do that thing, and a special ministry to read a man's heart, because it was Christ the Word doing it. What do you think it's going to be like when we have to stand before the light which no man can approach unto? Now, I'm not trying to say that you'll be in a judgment as though you'll be condemned. You will not be. But the Scripture says we lose that part of our life which is not in accord with the Spirit of Christ who is the Word. That simply goes down the drain, see? Now, that place, Bema, the judgment is a Bema. Now, the Bema is not what people say it is. I've been to Corinth and I've seen the Bema. It's a raised place. And that raised place is a place of presentation that Brother Branham saw in his vision when the names were called. But believe me, it won't be very nice to stand amongst the illustrious of God to know that our place and our rewards are insignificant to what they could be had we been responsible. Sonship demands responsibility. It doesn't say, well, hallelujah, shall we sin that grace may abound? It says, I've been born again. There's a privilege here for me. There's a responsibility here for me, and always with privilege goes responsibility. Was it Lord Chesterton or somebody said, I forget who he said, but he said, listen, power corrupts. Absolute power, absolute corruption, except in Christ. There's only one power that's good, Jesus. And the life that's controlled by Jesus, and we'll show you where the Scripture stands and how Brother Branham's ministry is identified with it, and ours must be too, that there is a place of this responsibility being truly discharged. 1 Corinthians, the 7th chapter. I'm going to just take my time this morning, and if we have to put it on for tonight, I'm just going to have to blow the whole series by not finishing it, but it's all right. You get enough anyway. 16 and 17. For what knowest the 7th chapter? For what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband, or knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife? But God hath distributed every man as the Lord hath called everyone, so let him walk, and so I ordain in all churches. Now it says right here, you can't let your barrier down, even though it, you may think, well, nothing ever came of it. I lived before my husband, he never got saved. I lived before my wife, she never got saved. I did my best and they never came in. But that's all right. You're still obligated. You're still obligated. We've got cases right now where, listen, I'm going to, you know, every now and then I hit you in, but I'm going to tell you something, women, for God's sake, you watch yourselves. That you are out of Pentecost. That you think because you can shout and scream a little bit, you got something. We've got a home right now that's headed for divorce. Because she never left Pentecost. She's seen her sister sing songs and make money. Now she wants that spirit of prosperity. I turned the TV on this morning like I do usually Sunday mornings to see what's going on. I don't have a TV at home, so I got a chance to wave home and see what's going on. And I saw a certain great program, and this boy's son began to pray. And he couldn't help himself. He had to pray about that the sowing the seed. And I knew right away, just send the seed to me and my dad. Well, I was in the bathroom, my wife listened to the other club, and this lady got up under a great anointing, and she said, oh God, she said, there's a man out there with a spirit of stinginess. And she wondered, where would he send the money? To this club. Spirit of prosperity, and that woman wants it. Don't you know this is Laodicea and it burns? Brother, sister, there's responsibility. I'm trying to talk to you this morning to get you to realize, and I haven't hit it yet, I'll get you the Scripture, that there is a certain spirit in man, and that's the Holy Ghost, and he is different from the world. Right. And he is the Word in the spirit form in the individual. See? Now, this responsibility to God is also carried over as responsible to each other in the bride. There is no such thing as a responsibility to God that isn't in the bride, two bride members, and the world as is necessary. You follow me? Because it wouldn't make sense any other way. How are you going to show anything to God or do anything for God as though we could do something for God? I wish you had time to preach a sermon on that to show you some things. It can't be done. The manifestation lies in the horizontal if there's anything from the vertical.
Right.
If there's anything from the vertical, it's got to manifest because it's life, and you show me where life doesn't manifest. See, it's got to manifest. Now, 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, and the 21st verse, I guess it is, 25th verse, the last part. But that the members should have the same care one for another. Now, what's he talking about? God's care for the individual overflows, so the individuals care for each other as God cared for the individuals, so it's God in the individual caring for each other. I'll prove to you by Scripture that's right. Just hold on. See? 1 Corinthians 12 and 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. And we'll see that that manifestation is not simply a supernatural, although it is supernatural because it's a supernatural life, but it's in more or less the mundane or the harmony of a coexistence. Huh? Hope you caught it. The harmony of a coexistence. Now, with that, we go to Galatians, the 6th chapter, and the 10th verse. As we have therefore opportunity to do good unto all men, especially, see, number one, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Now, also we can note that women appear right along with men in Hebrews 11. You don't have to turn to it. There's Sarah and Rahab and the mother of Samuel and different ones. They're all in there, and Esther will be in there, and different members of the Bride of Christ or the Old Testament. They're all mentioned in there. So when we speak of women with ministries in an area particularly peculiar from that of the men, it does not say that the women are inferior in any way, shape, or form, or have any less responsibility in the realm where they have been put. You see? No difference at all. They also are responsible because they are designated as sons of God in the singular as they come to Christ. In the plurality, they are in the bride, and therefore they come under subjection within the church. That's a different thing. But still their headship in the long is Jesus Christ, having been baptized with the Holy Ghost. Now, as we said, when all sons are grouped together, it's designated as a she, whose wife, a wife, whose head is the husband. Now, let's go to Ephesians, the 5th chapter. Now, we talked about the individuals. We're talking about the corporate body. Now we look at the corporate body, and we start at verse 25 of Ephesians, the 5th chapter. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now the husband doesn't necessarily die for the wife, but if he needs to, he certainly should stand in the place to protect her to a degree where he himself would die for her. Now, that he might sanctify and cleanse it by the washing of water by the word. Remember, death precedes this washing of the water by the word. See? That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, to be holy without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loves his wife loveth himself. Do you know that? I'm going to just stop here. Now look, I might not get finished because I'm in a nice mood this morning. I know Ike thought we're a little sleepy. And we are a little maybe, but I think that mood is not so much sleep as you're kind of rested. And I want to get you to your groggy moments so far that I trust your benches are well padded and you don't feel bad. But I'm just going to dribble along here with you this morning. Now listen. It says right here, he that loveth his wife loveth himself. Now, so a man ought to love their wives their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Now, we know that in there there's a tremendous type, if we want to talk about it, concerning the fact that Eve came out of Adam and that the bride came out of Christ. Now look. Let's just take a look at this picture. There's only two places where the male was the progenitor. That's Adam and the serpent. Now, could we believe in serpent seed, and anybody who doesn't can have his own idea. But you try to explain to me the Word of God without understanding serpent seed as being literal. It just won't fall into place. It can't work. So, all right, we see that there are two sets of genes in the human race, so-called. We have an admixture. Now, look, those genes have never been lost. The chromosomes have never been lost. What we find is, under Mendel's law, a predominance of certain traits within the individuals. Now, I got some figures here. I'm going to just read them to you. The odds against two individuals being born exactly alike are astronomical, except for identical twins. And even identical twins are not perfectly identical. There are more than 8 million ways the 23 chromosomes of a mother and the 23 of a father can combine. The odds against any of the two of their children having the same complement of chromosomes are about 70 trillion to one. Now, that's just in two people. Put that into others. And since each chromosome may have 1,250 genes, the odds against two identical individuals reach a number so high that it has to be written as a 1 followed by 9,031 zeros. What I'm trying to, Brother Branham categorically stated that the virgin birth was nothing alongside of what he does in natural and spiritual election. You could never, ever break down and see or compute what lies within the human. That being so, now this is what my understanding is with this message in natural election, this scripture right here, man loving his own body, because Brother Branham said, she becomes a part of him. That's why in marriage and divorce, he categorically said, the only true marriage is where the man has prayed out and knows that this is his wife from God. And if she's got an ounce of brain, she'll start praying too, because there'd be many crooks who would verily and thusly, profanely but oh so insidiously insist that this little girl is my wife. Now, let me tell you flat, and my wife never too flattered by my comments, and sometimes she is. When I first saw her, I would not have picked her, period. And when I went with her for a while, there was no real chemistry, as these people think. And I was ready to give her up just like that, even though I began liking her quite seriously, because she didn't believe the way I believed, until one day she said, you know, you are right. That was the very night I was going to say, look, girl, let's call it quits. Ain't no use. You was some kind of a Nazarene, I'm some kind of something else. So going up the hill, she told me. I said, well, that blew my disengagement, though we weren't engaged. So I began praying. God said, that is the one. Now, I said, I've always had a better bargain than she had, but that's her tough luck. She didn't pray, I don't think, but I did. Now, I'm going to tell you something, brother, sister. If the Word of God is true and the prophet is correct, she had everything in her from her generations back, coming down thousands of years to meet from my generations thousands of years back. That God brought us right together as one flesh. We're talking serious this morning, brother, sister. There's too many marriages were made because you got involved, because you kids wouldn't listen. You didn't care what your parents or the preacher said. You're too smart. You're stupid. Now, I love you, but I'm going to tell you flat. Years ago, a certain dame thought she had interest in me, but I had none in her. So I told her flat. I said, look, if my wife died, I would never marry a young girl because she would be too insipid, too flat. What would I know? What she know about me and I know about her? Forget it. And I said, you old gals are too old. You're so made up in your mind, we wouldn't get along either, so that takes care of it. I'd have to be an old bachelor and just walk around the country satisfied with God. And I'm not being sarcastic or rough. I just want you people to know flat. I had my chance to play the bar rooms and the pool rooms, everything else, but I was serious with God. And my sobriety with God over marriage was the one thing that saved my life. Do you realize that marriage to a bride in Jesus saves his life, because without that bride, he wouldn't have a life down here? Listen, this thing is more in the hands of God than you realize. You better make sure your marriage is right, and when your marriage is right, that woman is a part of you physically, not by sexual intercourse, that's just part of life, but by the fact that she is and she becomes a part of a man's ministry. Couple is a lot of them go a little bit too far in that, and they should learn to be a little more quiet. I'm explaining scripture here, what the prophet taught. I believe I'm 100% right. There's only one way she could be a part. She'd have to be a part from that beginning and have to come down by natural election as well as there's a spiritual. Now, we're going to go back and look at it again. For no man ever yet hates his own flesh. So she's his flesh. But nourishes and cherishes it even the Lord. That's why I said love your wives. But I want you men to also know, the same scripture also said, and husbands, be not bitter against your wives. You women, look out. You can start needling and you'll destroy everything, because you won't stop needling and keep your mouth shut under certain conditions. Am I rough on you? I'm sorry, but I can't help it. I didn't write the book. I just preach it. If I'm going to tell men to love their wives as their own bodies, I have got to tell the women to look out, or you will make your husband bitter. I know a lot of bitter husbands. Oh, they're married all right. They're trying to do their best, but there's a bitterness. Preachers aren't exempt from it. I'm not talking about myself. Talking about nice little preacher I got in mind. He all but left his wife not too long ago. Said, I'll serve God. But she ain't going to stop me. Say, we're free of it here? I don't know. You might be. I hope you are. There's an old Scots saying that says, you're born, but you're no dead. Yeah. Listen. But nourish and cherish even as the Lord the church, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bone. If a man and a woman are of each other's flesh, and I believe they are, if you have been married according to the word of God, you prayed out. Well, it goes right back to the Old Testament. Isaac had to marry a certain one, Abraham a certain one. Right in predestination shows you how the flow went. But listen, if that's true, then how much more does Christ love this bride and never does any one thing except nourish and bless and help and comfort, standing there all the time, and that same spirit just wants to move out amongst the people toward each other? Because God doesn't honor a man's spirit, he honors his own spirit. That's what it says. Otherwise, how could he swear by himself? He's not going to honor you and me. For this cause shall a man leave father and mother, he joined his wife, and they'll be one flesh. This is the great mystery that speaks concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, everyone of you in particular so love his wife even as himself. That's Jesus did it. Even loved her better. And the wife see that she reverence. In other words, the word doesn't reverence come down and kind of worship the guy and try to make him God or something. It just means respect. And if you go to the Greek word, the word love, I would say is 80% respect, is what the word love really means as to its ingredients. Now let's go back and take a look at it again. Verse 25, husbands, love your wife, even Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And we go back to the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, and in verse 11. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall a righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. All right? Jesus Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. There's no doubt about it. A man also must love the woman he marries, so that everything he has is at her disposal because he trusts her that she will do right. That's what Jesus did to the church. When people fuss about their wives and say, well, or the wife fusses about financing, or my wife even lifts her voice about one thing, I say, look, your name is on the check, the same as mine is. You write what you want. And if she took every cent I have, she'd be justified in doing it. I wouldn't feel too bad at all about it. I really wouldn't feel bad. It doesn't mean that much to me. Christ has done more than that for us. He put his life right in our hands. See? I wonder how many, I imagine most of you men, your wife's names are on the checkbook. Is there any money in the bank, though? I hope so. See? I know some men are kind of funny. One of they got funny wives. Funny begets funny. Huh? That's not just a joke. Little crude. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. 2 Corinthians 11, she's a virgin of the word, not something else, but of the word. That's why a woman takes a vow at the marriage. She stays a virgin to the word of betrothal. So should a man. I can't see picking on a woman unless the man's picked on first. Now, if you've got some woman that's nothing but a stinking mess, that's a different story. But a lot of women have gone haywire because the man wasn't the right man in the first place. See? 27th verse, that he might present it a glorious church to himself, not having spot nor wrinkle or any such thing. Now listen, he is responsible for that. How responsible then is a man for his wife to mold her and see that her character comes shining through? Brother Branham spoke of a man marrying a woman, not because of what she was at that moment, but because he saw in her a potential and said, if I were married to her, how I would treat her and mold her until I could bring out in her what I know that she is. We'll sing a song, Happy Day. But can't go any further preaching that one, can I? Because I think everybody's under conviction. Can't tear your hair and quit, but then you could start over again. Men take Brother Branham's message and pervert it, saying, well, she won't cut the mustard, eh? She won't do what you say. She's not even born again. Get rid of her. Boot her out. Happy days. He washed my sins away, but not her. Dropped dead. Not just talking about the word, I'm talking about the spirit that goes with the word. See, I knew the prophet. He said, well, if Mrs. Branham started smoking night, she wouldn't be Mrs. Branham any longer. But remember, she lived in all those years and didn't smoke. And let me tell you right off the bat, if she ever started, I start looking at Bill Branham to see where he stood too. You might not like that. You say you don't like the prophet. I love the prophet, but he didn't make me stupid either. I lived around him. Tell you one thing, Sister Branham wouldn't even come near a building filled with smoke with a man like him around. Well, come on. Women aren't to blame for everything. Just 99%. No. 50-50. All right. Romans, the 8th chapter. Let's look at that bride, Romans 8. What Jesus did, 33 to 30. Who shall anything to charge of God's elect? Who dares arraign the bride in God's court? God said she's righteous. Well, certainly he's the one that justified her, sanctified her, cleansed her, and he made her spotless. How's he going to look down and say, hey, you're a mess? Who is he that condemns her to death? It is Christ that died. She's already dead in him. How are you going to put her in double jeopardy? Yea, rather, Christ is risen. Now, it's twice as good, because she's raised with him. And even at the right hand of God already, signifying that she'll be in the throne for God with Jesus Christ. Oh, my. 28 to 29. So ought men to love their wives their own bodies. That's exactly right. He that loves his wife loves himself because she's himself. For no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourish and cherish even as the Lord the church. Yeah. Men cherishing their wives. That's kind of reversed these days. Notice how Mama... what did I read in the Reader's Digest not long ago? This girl was telling how she grew up to be a mother herself, and she suddenly learned how it was that her mother simply loved a piece of bread, a bit of toast, and an apple or something, and she made sure the kids had the steak or the hamburger. She just didn't seem to like the steak. But always the woman wants to put on the man's plate. I resent my wife always trying to put on my plate some goodies when she's not eating goodies. She wants to choke. I don't know what you're like. I'm not very virtuous. I'm not talking about Levi up here being virtuous. I'm just telling you my reaction. And of course, the good ones. I'm not going to tell you the bad ones. Think I'm nuts. Confession's not that good for my soul. I'm just kidding. Of course it is. I could tell you anything and everything because it's known to God anyway. I'm not a fool. But look, but aren't women that way? Why aren't the men more that way? Jesus is. Does he withhold any good thing? No. No. Now, see, we're talking about male responsibility. And this overflows to men and women when you're dealing with each other now in the bride and outside the bride. See? All right, Hebrews the 7th chapter, verse 25. And it says, you all know that one, of course, that how it is that he's the great intercessor. And it says that he is able to save from the uttermost to the uttermost all that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Now, the mediator brings them in and gets them to God, and the intercessor keeps them in. Now, if men was such a great egg to bring the woman in, how come he can't keep her in? Well, I'm going to tell you something. The woman's got to have a nature that wants to be kept in, and the man's got to have the kind of nature to reciprocate, to want to keep her in. That goes both ways, but both being sons of God, both are responsible. See? Takes two to tangle, takes two to make a marriage. See, and I know the way Brother Branham preached, a lot of people have the idea that the man can run off fishing and do what he wants and leave everything to the wife. Look, I'm going to tell you young people flat, you're lucky. You've got these throwaway diapers. When we were married, we didn't have the throwaway diapers. We had a Brother Branham put as the bird's eye. And bird's eye diapers, you well know, is that nicely thin, this kind of a thin weave, nice and soft and flexible. And I changed our kids' diapers, and I washed their diapers, and my hands weren't exactly the kind you'd pick your nose with after I got finished. And I hauled the water and scrubbed and everything else, and I'm not ashamed of it. Brother Branham would have done the same thing. See, it's you. We're not talking about natural things here because we want to get a right spirit because that's how Christ is dealing with the bride. He simply can't have the Holy Ghost and begin dealing in a manner which is outside the Holy Ghost. You see? People talk about their dead nature. Well, they should have kept the old until something else crept in, maybe a little bit worse. Now, Christ the perfect husband here. And we also have a perfection amongst us according to the word of Almighty God. So we go over here to Ephesians 5 again, and we look at 28 and 29. Men ought to love their wives their own bodies. He loves his wife, loves himself. No man hates his own flesh, nourishes and cherishes even as the Lord the church. Christ the perfect husband. And then in verse 30, for we are members of his flesh and of his bones. And again, that shows you that actually, whether we want to receive it or not, we are the incarnation of Christ. Now, brother, sister, listen, I know what's wrong. We go by experience. And when we go by experience, we don't go by the word. We're right back where I was with Brother Battle. Well, what do you do about your two experiences? He said, what two experiences? And like a very fine ignorance. Ignoramus, I answered back, well, you ought to know, you had him. So I described to the man who had him and told him what they were. And I got a delightful shaking under the nose, Brother Bale, and oh, he drew himself up. I want you to know, brother, sister, that he set Lee Bale down in his haunches, and I got haunched.
Therefore, I've got a right to preach the way I preach this morning because I was personally instructed by the prophet. We don't go by experience. We go by the Word of God. The body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. Certainly, you've got troubles in your body. Certainly, I've got a nature I hate. But certainly, I've got a nature that God gave me that God loves. And I can have the ascendancy if I so want it. See? There's no doubt about it. Because if I'm baptized with the Holy Ghost, then becoming a temple, it must radiate in that particular life. Now, it all depends on exactly what we want to do with it. See? Because we are to radiate in that particular life. Now, it all depends on exactly what we want to do with it. See? Because we are still In a way, as the Scripture describes, those sons, but we must learn obedience. Now, to be manifested sons, which is this day we're coming to. Now, it says over here again, after the incarnation, we are actually his incarnation. I was talking about that. You see, all right, now how can I be true to the incarnation of Christ, the true bride? Look what's going on. I've quoted the verse to you. The body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. That nature in there would pull you down and take you from God. As it did in the beginning. Let me assure you, the Scripture said when God came to Adam and gave Eve, he said, for this cause a man will leave father and mother. I'm your father, I'm your mother, you will leave me for her. And if it hadn't been for her, it would have been something else, so don't blame the woman. I'm trying to show you there's a certain thing we were born with. And it stays in the balance because Adam was not righteous, he was innocent. But the propensity was there to fall and he fell. Now, long as we're born this way, the propensity is there. But there is also the Spirit of Christ whereby we can live in this life victoriously and do if we recognize it. So we don't go by experience, we go by the Word. Then as you go by the Word becomes experiential, and we become the Word manifest in our flesh. Why? Because we receive it. Now what I'm trying to point is, I've been pointing in all these services, how much of the Word have you and I received as correct? No, experience says, yeah, but I'm not what I should be. Certainly you're not. And of your own you never will be. So you've got to start looking elsewhere. And the elsewhere is by faith to accept what God said until we become what God said we are. Amen. But you've got to start with the premise. You are what God said you are. Not what you think you know you are. Come on. How many of you guys think you'd handle $1 million? Or you say, well, I wouldn't want $1 million. What if somebody came by and gave you one? Or somebody died and left you that year. Well, that's a different story. I must be worthy. Oh, yes, the Lord must trust me. Fap. Could be a trap to you. But you just want to believe what you want to believe. Right? So this morning I can believe what God said about me, or I can believe what the devil says about me, because he started way back there. Now remember, the mind is automatically under the spirit of this world until a man is full of the Holy Ghost. Then that mind must bring into captivity. Bringing into captivity the things of Christ, in other words, holding them there, refusing to budge. See? All right. Verse 31. For this cause a man leaves father and mother, if he joined to his wife, they shall two shall be one flesh. That's exactly true. Each member is joined to each member, and thereby all members of each other. And the one life in all makes it possible. And therefore the bride is not of a dozen minds or 100 minds, she is of one mind. Ha! That's why Brother Branham said, you get that group that's got think the same thought, 10 of them, she's a bride, she's gone. The bride only has one mind. I don't know if you see there's 50,000 minds amongst us. That doesn't bug me one little bit. There is a true bride, and she has that one mind, that one life. And just sit there and don't try to judge. Just sit there and look at it. Now, verse 32. This is a great mystery I speak concerning Christ and the church. One of the great mysteries revealed in the seven thunders under the seventh seal, mystical union, marriage and divorce. Brother Brand said, I call you bride. The change from Abram to Abraham, so to speak. Now, the important verse about this bride is Ephesians 1, 22-23. And it says here, and about the far above all principality and power and might, that's where we're raised, and dominion, every name named, not in this world and the world to come, and put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things of the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all things with all things. In other words, the word of God, the bride of Christ, is the physical receptacle and manifestation of everything that's in Christ. And if it takes 2,000 years to produce it, it'll be produced. Because every promise has its own age, and every age has its own word and promise. Now, with the same thought, 5:26, is that he might sanctify and present it with the washing of water by the word. In other words, it tells you if your washing is right, it's got to be of the word. If it's correct, it will be one with the word. 21-24, submit yourselves one unto the fear of God. Now that says everybody submitting yourselves. Doesn't say just the husband and wife, it says everybody in the church submitting. And it goes right there and brings out the little text or the example, wives, submit yourselves your own husbands unto the Lord. In other words, the church is obedient only to the Holy Ghost, not to some clique, and not to some organization, and not to some group. When I was with the Baptists, I had so many letters from those birds, I one day said, my God, if I could hear from the Lord as often as I hear from Baptist headquarters, I'd be the most spiritual man in the world. So I said, don't send me any more of your stuff. I had it. How could I hear from God and hear that bunch at the same time? Can't be done. Your own husband. Husband is head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church. Now it says right here, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church. Now that tells you something. That's awful strong. That's terribly strong, see? And he is the savior of the body. It didn't say the husband's the savior of the body, except in this extent, except for the male, there couldn't be a proper reproduction. Now they're going to try to produce female children without male intervention, and they'll get them, I believe. Because they've already taken mice, and taking the ova from two mice and put them together, it'll bring forth a female mouse. And I wouldn't be surprised these perverted women and these perverted men, if you can call them that, serpent seed without a doubt, will not have women bring children forth of women, and they'll be females. But they ain't life. They can't reproduce themselves. Hybrids. Now that's exactly how the male is the savior of the body in this respect, when all the world is full of nothing but females. What would you have left? Well, you say some kind of life, but it sure wouldn't be any kind of life that God put in Adam, because that's a male life. Can't reproduce itself, sterile, would have to die. And I believe that death that would die would be so horrible that cancer would look like sucking a lollipop. Because something's missing. Huh? You think you can fight this world with just one kidney? God gave you two. Well, you get along, but not as you should. You fight this life of your pancreas gone, oh, they'll fill you full of insulin. Little, they got a little pump in there now, they can pump you. But you're still shot. Won't work. All right. Contrary to general opinion, women will never have equal rights when it comes to headship. We're still talking about the body. We're talking about how the Holy Spirit operates in the bride, how the horizontal works. So therefore, let women know the horizontal manifestation of the true Holy Spirit will never give them an equal right proposition on the grounds that they can do everything a man can do in the church. That's why short hair, cut hair, men's clothing for her are wrong, because she identifies with the man in an office, but she cannot identify other than the flesh. Contrary to general opinion, the church is not an authority, or does it have any rights by itself? You know what I like? I just read this morning in the paper about the Roman Catholics. And there are some good people there. And in there, they're getting a little bit worried about the homosexuals. And they say, now, what it is, you got to be nice to them. And I agree, you should be nice to everybody. But don't be too nice. And so you got to be nice to them. But they said, you see, the Word of God, the Scriptures, and they go to the Bible and quote the Bible, forbids homosexuality. But it's funny, they stop quoting when they want their own way. You mean to tell me that the horizontal is the same as the vertical? Nonsense. There's no vertical, so there's a perverted horizontal. How could a bride ever be anything but the vertical, which is fleshed or encased in the flesh of the Word, and she manifests something else? See? The headship of the church does not, the bride does not lie in a church. It lies in Christ, who is the Word. So the church does not have any rights of itself. Now let us get a true picture once for all the position of the church. It's an elected and chosen group, even as it is with the individuals. The individuals are set forth in Romans 9:8-13. And I'm just gathering a lot of material here, and you can put it together yourself on the grounds that it all fits. It has to do with the members of the bride. It has to do with the vertical into the horizontal. All right. As it's written, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated, or even loved less. I don't care. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness? God, God forbid. He said to Moses, I have mercy on him. I have mercy and compassion when I have compassion. So then it's not him who wrote him that runneth, but God who showeth mercy. Now, well, I should have read in the 8th on there, but it doesn't matter any. No, here it is. That is they which are the children of the flesh. These are not the children of God. The children of promise are counted for the seed. But you notice they have to come in the flesh. They just, you don't pick them up under gooseberry bushes. For this is the word of promise. This time I'll come and Sarah will have a son. And not only that, but Rebecca also conceived by one her father Isaac, and the children not being yet born, not having done good or evil, that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand, not a worse in the cause, who has said the elder should serve the younger, and has written Jacob I love and Esau have I hated. Now in there we see it is the election is of God. And over here in John 10, in the 16th verse, it says, another sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also must I bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold, and there shall be one shepherd. That's what Ezekiel said. And Ephesians, the first chapter, and in the 3rd verse, blessed be the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, bless all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, according to your chosen name before the foundation of the world. That we should be holy without blame before Him and love having predestinated us, right on down the line. And that same chapter, the 11th and, let me see, I want the 12th verse, and it said that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Him. And the 3rd chapter, verses 10 and 11, to the intent that now the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. It's got to come in the church. There's no place else that can come. God can't do it any other place in creation, according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness, and so on. Verses 14 and 15, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family heaven and earth is named. Now it tells you right here that as every single bride is predestinated, automatically the whole bride is predestinated. It has to be. See, you simply can't have it otherwise. Now, not only is each member of the entire body one of election, but so is the position of every believer. So is every position in the bride, wherever God puts you, whatever your ministry. Now, therefore, this is why Brother Branham was constantly telling the women what their ministry was, and they should rejoice in it and glorify God in it. Because if God did it, then what more do you want? There is your perfection. If God put you where you are and gave you what to do, then why try to be something else? Listen, it doesn't work. I tried to pastor for years, and you know why I'm grumpy and crabby in the way I am? I was a square peg in a round hole. And the peg didn't give, and the hole didn't give. So, No, you won't believe this. You don't have to. But my nature normally was, as a child, very sweet and loving, and give you the shirt off my back and didn't even want thank you. You just get out of place. That's all you need, get out of place. And then I said, well, see, I was unsuited to pastor, so I had to quit. And God had to walk me around to get me back. And right away I began to know where my office lay. But I didn't know the office lay 100% in the road. That's why kids half my age can't begin to take the road. They never will. I'm 65, and I could almost go forever on the road. Why? Because I'm no longer a square peg in a round hole. I'm a round peg in a round hole, or square peg in a square hole. I don't know. It doesn't make a difference. Anyway, the peg fits the hole, and the hole fits the peg. Not perfect now, because myself, I can mess things up. But the office is right. Doesn't matter what anybody, and I'm not very hot at the job, but at least, you know, I'm out there messing around. You know, it's just like you get enough gang, even if they just got to shovel mud to get you up, you know, to make a little runway. That's not as good as having a bulldozer come and guys would haul cement and make a very nice one, but they still get the job done. Well, I'm one of those mud dauber types. We get the job done, a little bit of the job done, see? Now, the 4th chapter of Ephesians and the 8 to 13 verses, where if we said, we send up on high, led captive to captain, give gifts to men, and then it tells you right there what he did with the fivefold ministry, and they are part of 1 Corinthians. here in the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, with, say, verses 28 and 20 and 30. And God has set in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, miracles, gifts, healing, help, government, diversity, tongues. And he said, are all apostles all so-and-so? No. They all have different offices. Now, with that, you can read verses 1 to 11. We won't take time. Well, we just read the part here. They're different gifts, same spirit, different ministries, the same Lord, different way they operate, but the same God. But in that, the manifestation is given to every single person there to get some help from it. Then the Holy Spirit cannot be in the church except to help the entire church. So therefore, everybody in the church is helping everybody by the help of the Holy Ghost. And where to get some people get the right, they can sit back and just sponge it up like sponges. Get out there and work! Now, this is not a latter rain ministry where you women all going to get Holy Ghost ministries and go preaching or something, or or be the neck that turns the head and all that kind of stuff and go beyond your call. It just means you just be happy and get busy doing what you're supposed to do. And we'll talk about that shortly. We've got scripture for it, see? Same as with the men. Now, 12 to 13, as a body is one of many members, and all members that one body being many are one body, so is Christ. For one spirit, all baptized in one body, whether Jew or Gentile, bond or free, made to drink into one spirit. You simply, without the Holy Ghost, there wouldn't be any body. And with the Holy Ghost there in men and women, there is a body. So therefore, there's the vertical, takes care, and goes up in a horizontal. Absolutely. He's going to do it, because life's going to manifest. Then we go to Romans, the 12th chapter, and take a look at Romans 12. And beginning at verse 4, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, that's what he said over there in the Corinthians. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one member one of another. Member one of another. Member one of another. And there is nobody that stands by himself. Nobody can stand by himself. See? Having then gifts different according to the grace, was given to prophesy according to our faith, or ministry, waiting on ministering, or teaching on teaching, exhorting on exhorting, and giving, do it with simplicity, ruling with diligence, and showing mercy with cheerfulness, and just keep on going, and going, and going, and going. See? Why? That's what Irenaeus said. He said there are hundreds of gifts in the body of Jesus Christ. Now let's go to 1 Timothy, the 5th chapter. And see some more about that. I want you to know every one of you is important this morning. I may stand up here and sort of blister us all, but that's not bad. That's just, you know, that's just like the mule wouldn't take the carrot because he was sleeping, so the fellow hit him with the 4x4. When the mule woke up, he ate the carrot. So, you know, it wasn't so bad after all. All right, he said, what about the women? I will, therefore, that younger women marry, bear children, guide the house. And get off the telephone line. No, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. All right, now let's go up to the 9 and 10 verses. Let not a widow be taken into the number, that's of the church, under 60 years of age, having been the wife of one man, well reported for good works, if she brought up children, if she lodged strangers.
Why did you bring that man home? You know I wasn't bringing him home. How's this? Why did you tell me you're going to bring somebody home?
My wife doesn't talk that way, but strangely, the words have a ring. I'm not talking about my wife. She's pretty good, but she's giving me the old 1-2 on that, too, at times. I don't think you should spring surprises on your wife, you know, if you can help it. But hospitality is a fantastic thing. And there's a word for you folk who want too much of it. Keep your feet from your neighbor's door. There's a balance. If she have washed the saints' feet, she washed their dirty feet. If she have received the afflicted. You know, I know some people aren't even born again who take sick people into their homes and just love to help them. You like our friend Junior Callahan, right? He kids, Brother Neil. He's a horrible kidder. But his wife's a lot like my wife. She loves to take care of older people. Just so good and kind to them all the time. She just goes all day, and she loves to be in nursing homes. She would do it for nothing. She just loves to be nice to people. Whew, man, Brother Vail, you could be converted, couldn't you? Well, I hope so. Oh, this is for the ladies. I'm off the hook. No, some of you men. I know one fella. I won't say who he is because it's too close to home. Not your home. Thank God for that. You can thank God. It's too close to my home. If his daughter had someone in for a hamburger, he would scream to high heaven as though he had given her, she had taken $1 million. But even the poor kid even said, well, she can have my hamburger. Any men like that here? Stingy bunch of birds? Well, you need a dip in the fountain. Something wrong somewhere. Man, oh man. Hey, girls. Well reported for good works. This morning she was discerning on the TV. That spirit of stinginess was going to bring the money into herself, gunfighting. The sister there, you're wonderful. I want you to prophesy again. Hallelujah. With short hair yet. God forbids her to even pray with short hair. I didn't write the book. Don't blame me. Do what you want with it. You say, Brother Vale, Paul said we have no such custom. So the sign down there says, no U-turn. You make a U-turn. The cop brings you in. You say, well, I like U-turns. Well, if that's the case, don't obey it. Oh, you've got to be sick. Paul says, our churches don't allow cut hair. Go ahead and cut. No, I won't give a rip. Pray for you. Maybe if I knew you, I don't even know who you are if you cut your hair. That's your, I don't worry about cut hair for this reason. There's a lot of women right here this morning can't grow hair if you tried. So I don't know if your hair's short or long. I knew a dear sister down south, and I look at her, and she had a couple feathers. It's all she had since she was a kid. So she got long hair. No problem. Okay, girls. Good works. Bring up children. Lodge strangers. Wash feet. Relieve the afflicted. Diligently follow every good work. Now, if a woman's going to do that, the man's got to do more. He's got to provide for her a way to do all this. Oh, boys, we better go home now before I get this all in hot water. No. No, sir. Man's got to help her. So there's a wonderful ministry for the ladies. Now you say, Brother Vale, couldn't they speak in tongues? Sure, under church order. Could they prophesy? Yep, under church order. Oh, yeah. They can do many, many things. But there's the big thing right here. Now, it's very important not only to see that God is sovereign in placing members and giving gifts, but he even goes further. In Ephesians 3, 20 to 21. Aha, let's look at this. And now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ through all ages, world without end. Now the literal translation. Now unto him who, in the exercise of his power, that is at work within us. Now what's within us? The Holy Ghost. And whose is it? It's of God, right? Which you have of God and you are not your own. So therefore again, unto him who, in the exercise of his power that is at work within us, is able to do infinitely beyond our highest prayers or thoughts, to him be glory in the church and in Jesus Christ to all generations, word without end, amen. Now this says right here, here is something greater than praying, here is something greater than thinking, here is something the church must recognize, that God is sovereign in the exercise of his spirit in us. That whatever is to be done. We look at 1 Corinthians 12. We go to verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. And the 11th verse. But all these worketh that one and self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally or individually as he will. In other words, God does not give any of us anything, especially in the realm of the supernatural, that he himself does not control. And if it is without control, then it is condemned, as we'll see later on. Now, here is where God held Brother Branham. And here is why he preached doing God a service apart from his will. And here is why he said, if I could heal you, I would. And here is why he said, I cannot take it off you even if I can, because I must be ordered of God, because perhaps God put it on you because of disobedience. Or you have to learn something. I've got to hear from God. But the Pentecostal rank, the charismatic, could not see that. And people right today cannot see that. They cannot even read the scripture I read. Who in, unto him, who in the exercise of his power that is at work within us, is able to do infinitely beyond our highest prayers or thoughts. Whoever thought a prophet like William Branham would stand before the people and say, I challenge you, bring me the worst case, I guarantee healing. See? In other words, a man fully at the disposal of God, which is what the scripture requires. That person will have God in his midst in such a way that he could not even begin to believe was possible. He couldn't pray for it. He couldn't think of it, even though it lay in the scripture. God came right around and did it. Now, Brother Branham would many times say that. He said, I cannot do it unless he tells me. And he'd report the fact that Jesus said, I cannot say it unless he's already told me. And I cannot do it unless I've seen him do it. Then he said, it can be done. Now, we're looking at the fact that there is a bride, and she will be very mystical. Brother Branham deplored the lack of mysticism in the church. Yet in the age of Sadhu Sundar Singh, who met Jesus Christ in a vision, man had not taught him. He was one of the most mystical persons ever lived. One day he was going down his path in India, and they have tigers over there, and he was in an area where there were tigers, and a man to his horror saw a great big tiger just going right behind Sadhu Sundar Singh. No way to scream out or anything. Pretty soon old Singh sat down upon a rock, and the tiger came up, and he tickled the tiger behind the ear. Tiger laid down his tummy and got nicely scratched, and he whopped him on the rump, and away went the tiger. How do you think Brother Branham stopped that bull? How did he stop the hornets? See? Faith worketh by love. Love is God in the highest sense of a manifestation in a person. That is, he in the realm of the mystical. The realm of the spiritual, the emotional, see, that air about it. But God can and does way, way beyond what anybody would even dare to anticipate, see, if they let him be the acknowledged one who is the light. Now, that is a possibility. Now, what Brother Branham's ministry showed us, even if I've got the power, I can't do it unless he lets me do it, he tells me to do it. This is exactly what we saw in the life of Moses. Where he failed. God said, you strike the rock. He was only too happy. Now he said, talk to the rock. He wasn't so happy. He took things in his own hands. And you did, Brother Branham said, which is scriptural, he glorified himself before the people instead of glorifying God. You've got the thing right today. See? Now, this to me, what Brother Branham showed us, that God exercises his own power within us as we yield to him and should yield to him. This speaks of restoration by Elijah, as perhaps nothing else does. And I base this upon Adam in the garden. I'm going to go back to Genesis 2. Now, why I'm talking this way, I'm going to read you what God gave the prophet. I'm not giving you anything on my own thinking here. I'm lining it up with what William Branham, prophet of God, said. Second, Genesis 2. 19-20. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them to Adam and see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. Now notice, that was the time to name them. Now you tell me, where did Adam get his knowledge? That knowledge was not in him of himself. It was of God. The Holy Spirit was telling him. But you see, that Holy Spirit knowledge could not come forth until it was time for it to come forth. And when the time came, God brought him. God brought the animals in. God designated by the man. Yet it was the man. You see, because the vessel was there. Now, and Adam gave names to all cattle, fowl of the air, and every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet. And you know, if Adam had not gone out of Cater at that time, and gone into sin about that time, he would have named the butterflies and the bees and everything else, and the worms and everything else he would have named it. And we've been trying now for 1,000 years to do it in every ketchup. See what lies in a man? All right, chapter 16 and 17. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you can't eat, for the day you eat thou shalt surely die. Now right there you can see that man was being led of God, and God told him exactly what was right, exactly what was wrong. Now there was an eating he could do. There was an eating he could not do. In other words, there was something. You see, eating is eating. I'm not talking now about sex. although that is true. There is a way that things can be done right. And there is a way that things can be done wrong. And it is not, therefore, the thing that is done that's important, though that is true, it is important. It's how it was done. Now, that's real restoration. Because back there was the example. So, therefore, when Elijah was to restore, in this age, we saw the example. Now, this thing which I show you here in Genesis is even predates the garden. Let's go back to Ezekiel, chapter 28 and verse 14. We're going to talk about that fellow that led in the worship of Almighty God, the fellow that stood there with Michael, who was Christ in the cherubimic incarnation at that time. All right, 28 and 14. And it says, "Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth." That's Satan. "I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. You walked up and down the midst of the stones of fire." Well, that's just like New Jerusalem. Here he was there, the chief leader, one of the chief leaders in the worship of Almighty God. Remember, the cherubim stood before God with their sets of wings. In one place you'll find two sets, one three sets. I'm not going to argue the point. One fellow saw two, that's good enough for me. One fellow saw three, I have no problem. But there they stood, as it were, surrounding God. They were the ones that were right there in the very presence at all time. They led in the worship. Now, 28 chapter 12 and 13, "Son of man, table lamentation, king of Tyre, thus saith the Lord God, thou seest up the sum of wisdom perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. Sardius, topaz, diamond, beryl, onyx, jasper, sapphire, emerald, carbuncle, and gold. And the workmanship of thy tabern, thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day thou wast created." Notice in here, it sounds like he's got the Urim and Thummim. Which Urim and Thummim is the answer back to God. Always got the answer, got the answer. But brother, sister, there came a day when the Urim and Thummim of Satan failed because, not because it failed, but because he didn't like the answer. And that's what happened to Israel. They didn't like the answer. And that's what happened to this New Testament bride. She didn't like the answer. Isaiah 15 verse, first of all. "Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in thee." Knowing better to do it and did it anyway. See? Knowing to do right and refused it. Now back to Isaiah 14:12-14. See, there's where it all starts. There's where the whole thing goes. Now remember, everything Satan had was a god. That's why Adam and Eve failed. Everything they had was from God. They didn't have one thing of their own, but they acted as though it was. No man can have a ministry and act as though it's his own. It's God's own minister to the people, and he's responsible. That's why it's God's heritage. I don't care how good a man looks. All right, 12 to 14. "How art thou fallen, heaven, Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which is the weak of the nations? For thou said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation, the sides of the north. I will ascend," and so on. Satan says, "I'm going to have my own way with what God gave me." We have no right to attempt to use anything whatsoever that God has given us outside the jurisdiction of Almighty God, because he alone has the wisdom to know the time and the place. And it said, we don't know what's going to bear fruit. It takes God. Now, God has ordained that worship and service be according to spirit and truth in John 4. "For he that worship me must do it in spirit and truth." Thus we see every word of God must be in continuity and harmony with every other word. That's why every bride member must be in continuity and in harmony with every bride member. So the foot will say, "Well, you're not the foot. Get out." You haven't heard the last of it in this congregation, brother, sister. Let me warn you this morning, you hear my message and learn to keep your spirit. Remember, there is no place in the gospel tit for tat. Only God can do that. And what a man tells you, you cannot answer in kind. You answer the other kind. If I were to suggest you something, I would suggest that night and morning you begin to pray and say, "Oh God, I am one with you and I am one with them. My heart is bound to them, O Lord, and the circles I draw are greater and bigger." Because you haven't even begun to be tried yet, but you will be. Because the squeeze hasn't even come down. If for just some little thing you can be ostracized by your brethren, let me tell you one thing, it'll begin to grow and grow and grow. You might as well get ready for the fact, Brother Brown said, they'll shut the doors like this, and you won't be able to worship even with your brother. He said, as far as they know. A man years ago said Brother Branham received the squeeze when those preachers in Chicago came against him. Well, if that's the squeeze, give me 2,000 more years in good health. When they said 77 would have to end it all, I said, you got to be silly. Brother Branham said, I cannot preach this as fodder anymore on a morals charge alone. All the signs must be there. You show me one thing that happened in 76 that gave anybody the right to say 77 would end it. Remember I was here and told you that 78 would go by, and it did? And I told you 79 would go by? Let me tell you, flat 80 will go by, 81 will go by, 82 will go by, 3, 4, 5, 6. Unless all the signs are there. Not many amens. I don't care if you amen or not. I'm telling you the truth. Do what you want with you. So those pants will line up in 82. I got a good friend who's one of the smartest men in the world. I'm not lying. One of the smartest men, recognized men in the world in science. And he said, I just got my hands on a book that claims. He said, I don't know if it's true or not. I'm going to search it out. But claims that all that talk about those nine planets lining up is not true. No respected astronomer says so. Now, I'm not knowing if the book is right or not. I'm just telling you, how do we know in 1982 they're going to line up? What if they don't? Get your spirits down, down, down. And his up, up, up. I told you I've come to one place in my life. Shall not the judge of all this earth do right? And who said that? The one that God called his friend. Brother, sister, you cannot know the secrets of God and things of God, and the word come clear to you, unless you're a friend to God. And that means you've got to say, shall not he do all things right? Bride's got to draw back. Truly, listen. Every word must be in harmony with each other, so therefore every bride member will be in harmony. Brother Brand said, all that ever loved you and you love them will be there. I wonder if he spoke in the first person or what he spoke in. Well, I love Brother Brand. That makes it, does it? He said, you say you love me, then why don't you obey me? So all the folk didn't love him. Huh? Did he say it or didn't he say it? He said it. I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings, just trying to get you on your toes. Now, we're a long way there. Remember the old saying, there's many a slip twixt the cup and the lip. Remember also the Bible distinctly declares the man that lived virtuously all his life and then threw his hands up and says hogwash and walked out, he lost everything he ever strove for. But the guy that was rebellious at the end time said, hey, he said, I better watch out, I better get right. And God said, forget all his past life, bring him in. Just watch your spirits. They got out of order. Therefore, into sin back in the garden at the time when Satan fell. They got out of order with the word in Eden and they fell. They got out of order in 2 Corinthians 11 and they fell. It remained out of order until today. We have just now have had the restored word of 1 Corinthians 13. And 1 Corinthians 13 tells you what is correct with life and ministries or gifts and members and those who have some authority. Now I'm going to read what Brother Branham said here. A little bit of it. How are we doing? Oh, all day in the Word. Not even 2 o'clock yet. Here's what I'm trying to say to you. The law of reproduction is that each species brings forth after its own kind, even according to Genesis 1:11, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass and herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. See why I said what I said this morning about even male and female coming down? Whatever life was in the seed came forth into a plant and thence into fruit. The very same law applies to the church today. Now notice, the life was in the seed, came forth in a plant, and manifested itself in the fruit. The very same law applies to the church today. Whatever seed, now there, whatever seed started the church will come forth and be like the original seed because it is the same seed. I don't care what it goes through. See? In these last days, the true bride church, Christ's seed, will come to the headstone, and she will be the super church, a super race, as she nears him. Now she's got to near him in the flesh because he doesn't come to her, she goes to him, right? That they and the bride will be so much like him, they will even be in his very image. This is in order to be united with him. They will be one. Now, I quoted you from John 14 and John 17, and Brother Branham said, in that day they will know is in three places. Pentecost, this hour, and the white throne. They will be the very manifestation of the Word of the living God. Why? Because that is the Word of God in flesh. It's a light. Denominations cannot produce this. It's a wrong seed. They will produce their creeds and their dogmas mixed with the Word. This mongrelizing brings forth a hybrid product. The first son, Adam, was the spoken seed Word of God. He was given a bride to reproduce himself. That's what I've been preaching. The vertical to the horizontal. That is why the bride was given to him, to reproduce himself. To produce another son of God, but she fell. She fell by hybridization. She caused him to die. The second son, Jesus, also given a seed Word of God, was given a bride like as was Adam. But before he could marry her, she had fallen also. She, like Adam's wife, was put to the test whether she would believe the Word of God and live or doubt the Word and die. She doubted. She left the Word. She died. From a little group of the true seed of the Word. See, coming down and out. God will present Christ with the beloved bride. She is a virgin of His Word. She is a virgin because she knows no man-made creature dogmas by and through the members of the bride. By and through the members of the bride. Right? By and through the members of the bride will be fulfilled. All that was promised to God to be made manifest in the virgin. And I read that in the book of Ephesians, and I quoted you especially 21 to 23. Now, the word of promise came to the Virgin Mary, but that word of promise was He Himself to be made manifest. Not an experience, a person. God was made manifest. He Himself acted at that time and fulfilled His own word of promise in the Virgin. It was an angel that had brought her the message. But the angel's message, or the messenger's message, was the Word of God, Isaiah 9 and 6. He fulfilled all, at that time, all that was written of Him, because she accepted His Word to her. That was all that was written for that time. Although it all lay in Him, it couldn't manifest, you see. The members of the virgin bride will love Him. They will have His potentials, for He is their head, and all power belongs to Him. I quoted that in Ephesians. They are subject to Him as members of our bodies are subject to our head. That's the same thing, Ephesians 3:20-21. Notice the harmony of the Father and Son. Jesus never did anything until it was first shown Him by the Father, John 5:19. This harmony is now to exist between the groom and his bride. He shows her His word of life. She receives it. She never doubts it. Therefore, nothing can harm her, not even death. For if the seed be planted, the water will raise it up again. Here is the secret of this. The Word is in the bride, as it was in Mary. The bride has the mind of Christ, for she knows what He wants done with the Word. She performs the command of the Word in His name, for she has thus said the Lord. It's been proven she's got what she has this hour. Then the Word is quickened by the Spirit, and it comes to pass. That's what I've been saying all along. Minister back to Him what He gave us, and I will come a sup with you, and you with me. See? Like a seed that's planted in water, it comes to full harvest, serving its purpose. Those in the bride do only His will. No one can make them do otherwise. They have thus said the Lord, and they keep still. Everybody's not going to run around saying, thus said the Lord, thus said the Lord. They've already got it in the Word, which has been proven. They know that it has to be God in Him doing the works, fulfilling His own Word again. Ephesians 3. See, the King James Version doesn't put it correct. So the prophet comes in 20th century language and puts it perfect with the original Greek. See? Now, fulfilling His own Word. He did not complete all His works while in His earthly ministry, so now He works in and through the bride. Exactly what John says. She knows that, for it was not yet time for Him to do certain things that He must now do. But He will now fulfill through the bride that work which He left for this specific time. Now let us stand like Joshua and Caleb. Our promised land is coming into sight even as theirs did. Now Joshua means Jehovah's Savior. He represents the end time leader that will come to the church even as Paul is the original leader. Caleb represents those that stay true with Joshua. Remember, God has started Israel as a virgin with His word, but they wanted something different. So did the last day church. Notice how God did not move Israel ready to go to the promised land until it was His own appointed time. It wasn't 1977. It wasn't 78. Doesn't look like it'll be 79. Now the people might have put pressure in Joshua the leader and said, this land is ours, let's go and take it. So they create their own rapture, their own ideas. Some of them are named already. I said, if this is a name, you can have it. Joshua, you are all through. You must have lost your commission. You don't have the power you used to have. You used to hear from God and know the will of God. And get the right page here now. Yeah. Act quickly. Something is wrong with you. But Joshua was a God-sent prophet. And he knew the promises of God, and he waited for them. He waited for a clear-cut decision from God when the time came to move. God placed the full leadership in Joshua's hands because he stayed with the Word. God could trust Joshua, but not the others. It was so repeating this day, the same problem, same pressure. Remember, Brother Brand said, Joshua, this hour is the Holy Spirit. So therefore, the Holy Spirit has His Word. He knows what to do with it. It's time to yield to the Holy Spirit. Take the example we see in Moses. This mighty anointed prophet of God had a peculiar birth, born at the right time for the deliverance of Abraham's seed from Egypt. He never stayed in Egypt to argue Scripture with him, nor fussed at the priest. How many of you are staying here just to argue this message? He went to the wilderness until the people were ready to receive him. God called Moses to the wilderness. The waiting was not on Moses' part because the people who were not ready to receive him. Moses thought the people would understand, but they did not. Then there was Elijah, to whom the word of God came, which he got through. When he got through preaching the truth, that group back there, that is the forerunner of the American Jezebel group, would not receive the word. God called him off the field, plagued that generation, rejecting the prophet and the message that God had given. God called him to the wilderness, and he would not even come up for the king. Those who tried to persuade him so died. But God spoke to his faithful prophet by vision. Out of hiding he came and brought back the word to Israel. Then John the Baptist came, Christ's faithful forerunner, the mighty prophet of his day. He did not go to his father's school. Faithful forerunner, the mighty prophet of his day. He did not go to his father's school, nor the school of the Pharisees. He was born into that school. He went to no denomination, but out of the wilderness called there by God. There he stayed until the Lord sent him with the message, crying, Messiah is at hand. Now let's take a scripture warning here. Was it not in the days of Moses that God had vindicated that Korah rose up and withstood the mighty prophet? He disputed with Moses and claimed that he had as much from God to lead the people and that others shared in the divine revelation as well as did Moses. He denied the authority of Moses. Now the people back there, after he heard the true word, were well acquainted with the fact that the true prophet vindicated God. I say those people fell for Korah and his gainsayings. Korah was not a scripture prophet, but the people in great numbers with their leaders went for him. How like the advances today with their golden calf schemes like Korah, like I said this morning. Oh, I'm praying for your seed, but that means send the seed to us. I got any takers this morning? They look good to the people as Korah looked good to them. They have blood on their foreheads, oil in their hands, and balls of fire on the platform. They allow women preachers, let women cut their hair, wear slack shorts, and bypass the word of God for their creeds and dogmas. That shows what kind of seed is in them. But not all the people turned on Moses and left the word of God. No. The elect stayed with him. The same happening again today. Many are leaving the word, but some are staying with it. But remember the parable of the wheat and tares. The tares have to be handled for the burning. Bundled for the burning. These apostate churches are getting bound closer and closer together, ready for the fires of God's judgment, but the wheat is going to be gathered to the master. Now, if that's true, then we as wheat are going to become closer and closer to each other. And this message, therefore, is very timely. It is not only suggesting that the wheat should be closer, it is telling you the wheat is going to be closer. We'd better learn to like it. I want to be careful here. God has promised the end time Malachi 4 is going to be fulfilled. It has to be for the spirit-quickened word of God spoken by the prophet Malachi. Jesus referred to it. It is just before Christ comes a second time. By the time Jesus comes, all scripture must be fulfilled. The Gentile dispensation will be in the last church age when that messenger of Malachi comes. He will be right with the word. He'll take the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation. He'll start with the serpent's seed and carry on to the messenger in the latter rain. They made a mistake when they printed that. It's former rain. But we made a boo-boo when we took that to Pentecostal Publishing House, see? Right. That was not in the original manuscripts. Before this book actually came back, I knew that they had made a mistake. I turned right to it. Don't you ever believe that's former rain. The prophet, if you can understand from serpent seed and bring you right to the problem, the former rain, you've got the whole Bible for your hour. Because that's where the perversion started, serpent seed, and the only one that can turn the whole thing back is a prophet anointed to God, because who knows the mind of God except a revealer. And that would take a very special person. He has to be. But he will be rejected by denominations. He has to be, for that is history repeating itself from time of Ahab. Israel's history under Ahab is happening right here in America, where the prophet of Malachi appears. As Israel left Egypt to worship in freedom, pushed out the natives, raised up a nation with great leaders like David, etc., then put an Ahab on the throne with a Jezebel behind him to direct, so have we done the very same in America. Our forefathers left for this land to worship and live in freedom. They pushed back the nations and took over the land. Mighty men like Washington and Lincoln were raised up, but after a while the men of such poor caliber succeeded these worthy men that soon an Ahab was set in the presidential chair with a Jezebel behind him to direct him. It is at such a time that this messenger Malachi must come. Then in the latter rain will come a Mount Carmel showdown. Watch this carefully now to see in the word. John was the forerunner of Malachi 3. He planted the former rain and was rejected by the organization of his day. Jesus came and had a Mount Transfiguration showdown. The second forerunner, Christ, will sow the latter rain. Jesus will be the showdown between the denominations and creeds, for he will come to back up his word and take his bride in the rapture. The first showdown was Mount Carmel, the second was Transfiguration, the third will be Mount Zion. You heard I said the third is Mount Zion, then who knows who's in that rapture? Now, brother, sister, let's face it. The white throne judgment is a many-faceted judgment. One of the facets is, how did you treat the brethren? That's one of them. Another is, did you have a lot of light and kept pushing it back? Did you take advantage of your flesh and keep sinning till it piled up? Read Romans chapter 2 and see the sevenfold judgment there someday when you got time. But I'm talking about the fact, if Mount Zion, which is the rapture, is a showdown, how many will even know who is in the resurrection? If Mount Zion is a showdown, how do you know that you are it? And the hand will say to the foot, I have no need of you. Now people aren't going to believe this preaching. I'm going to tell you something. I believe it, but I've got an awful job with it. You won't have half the job I've got. You just sit there and do your best to follow your pastor and live a good, clean life and keep your heart under the bonds of sympathy. I'm against this stuff all day and all night, and I have got to stand here and preach what I believe to be the truth as it is in Christ Jesus. I don't say that I'm right, but it's tough to stand up and make a public stand day and night and still tell the people, look, you're different in your thinking, but the true bride isn't. So don't say, I'm right and that one's wrong, because the showdown is Zion. I didn't write this. I didn't preach this. I have nothing to do with this. But I've got at least a third grade education, and I got a pretty fair vocabulary, and I can read, and I can read awful fast. I'll read it again. The first F-I-R-S-T showdown was Mount Carmel. The second was Mount Transfiguration, and the same noun holds good, subject matter, showdown, will be Mount Zion. All right? Judge not before the time. Only one evidence, the Holy Spirit, that's staying right with the Word. And if He's going to work in the lateral from the vertical, it's got to be under His terms and His conditions and everything about it. And we're responsible. And not only our response, Brother Branham said, if God demands anything, He makes a way for it. So nobody can say, well, look, I don't have a way for it. We do have a way for it. The strange behavior of Moses, Elijah, and John withdrawing from the people into seclusion left many confused. In other words, they didn't answer all the questions. They came and hit the subject and bounced back. They did not realize it was because their messages had been rejected, but the seed had been sown, the planting was over, judgment was next. What judgment? You and I judging each other? Well, let's just find out. I'm going to give you a verse that I think you like, same as I like. The natural man receives not things the Spirit of God, they're foolish to him, neither can he know them because the Spirit's discerned. Now listen, but he, the spiritual, born again, judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Only one judge, that's God. And the Word stands there judging. I'll tell you something. There's only one place that you and I really would have a right to judge. We can judge immorality, but not put a man out. Can't do it. The only place I know any of us can judge is when a man deliberately goes against the prophet. Then you just don't wish him Godspeed. You wish him goodbye. Yeah. If you get to the place, brother, sister, where you simply can't get along with certain folk, let them walk on one side, you walk the other, because the Bible said as much as lies within you. There's not enough in there yet. You just got to move over here. I can sit with certain brethren right today that have not said what Brother Branham said, and I'm criticized for it, but I have no problem because I will not discuss Scripture with him. I'll sit down and eat with him. We'll be nice together. But they know where I stand. But I will not engage in arguments. Nor can I engage in the judgment that I must put that man out, because who knows that that man was destined to make a circle and come on back. Now, we've got to leave all of this to God, because that is a showdown. In the meantime, we must do all we can to help anybody that needs help, because that's what the Holy Spirit is doing. See? Now, the judgment was next. I believe in according to Revelation 13, 16, the bride is to, will have to stop preaching, for the beast is demanding the mark in the hand or forehead if permission to preach is granted. Now, he said that. Now, he said, I believe the Spirit of God gave me this to write and tell you folk the bride will have to stop preaching. Denominations will take the mark or be forced to quit preaching. Then the Lamb will come for his bride and the judge the great harlot. I said then. Why, great Caesar's ghost, I'll bet you there's people right now tell Brother Gunther to shut his mouth up because they don't preach certain things. Or they come and take the flock over. Hoo-hoo, I hit something there, didn't I? My old buddy Kenny Goff one day, this fellow Ward, you know, big shot Methodist in the States, he came to Kenny crying and he was so upset, he said, you've made me a communist. And Kenny said, when I see a bird that waddles like a duck and quacks like a duck, I just figure it's a duck. Word to the wise is sufficient. That's not a parable. That's an illustration. Remember, Moses was born for a certain work, but he could not do that work till he received the gifts which would enable him to do the work. He had to go out in the desert and wait there. God, in the appointed time, there was a certain time for Pharaoh to be on the throne. The people had to be crying for the bread of life before God could send him back. This is true for our day. But what do we have in this our day? Multitudes are working signs until we have a generation of sign seekers that know little or nothing about the word or a true move of the Spirit of God. If they see blood, oil, and the fire, they're happy. It matters not what is in the word. They'll support any sign, even on scriptural ones. But God has warned us about that. He said in Matthew 24, in the last days, two spirits would be so close that only the very elect could tell them apart, for they alone would not be deceived. Can you tell the two spirits apart? Just give them the word test. They don't speak that word, the hour of the evil one. That's what John said. As evil one deceived the first two brides, he'll try to deceive the bride of this last day by trying to get her to hybridize herself through creeds or just plainly turning from the word to any sign that suits her. But God never pays signs ahead of the word. Word, signs follow the word. As when Elijah told the woman to bake a cake first according to the word of God, when she did as the word said, the proper sign came. Come to the word first, then watch for the miracle. And I would add to this, without trying to hurt the prophet's message, don't ask your own miracle. The seed is the word. The seed word is energized by the Spirit. In other words, it alone can come forth in what it's supposed to be. How can any messenger sent from God believe only a part of the word and deny some? But the true prophet of God in this last day will proclaim the whole word. Denominational hate him. Boy, when he died, did they clobber serpents. His words may be as harsh as John the Baptist would call them vipers. But the predestinated will hear and be ready for the rapture. The royal seed of Abraham with like faith as Abraham's will hold to the word with him, for they are predestinated together. Predestinated together. Now, what if somebody said, Brother Bailey, you ain't part of it, and God said I was? What if I looked down and said, Brother Gunther, you're not part of it, but God said he was? You know what that constitutes in my books? That constitutes just like adding to the word and taking from it. Because we're all words. Yes, sir. The last day messenger will appear in God's appointed time. It is the end time now, as we all know, for Israel's in the homeland. And any time he will come according to Malachi, when we see him, he'll be dedicated to the word. He'll be indicated, pointed out in the word, Revelation 10:7, and God will vindicate his ministry. He'll preach the truth as did Elijah and be ready for the Mount Zion showdown. Many will misunderstand him because Brother Branham said all what was in the seven seals could put us in a rapture, right? Many will misunderstand him because they have been taught scripture in a certain way that they consider truth. When he comes against that, they will not believe. So I had trouble there too. No problem. If you just start believing, it'll come to you. Even some true ministers will misunderstand the messenger because so much has been called God's truth by deceivers. For this prophet will come, and as the forerunner of the first one cried, Behold the Lamb of God that takes away sin of the world, even so he will no doubt cry, Behold the Lamb of God coming in glory. He will do this, for even as John was the messenger of truth to the elect, so will this one be the last messenger of the elect and the word-born bride. Now there you are. This is why the true church and true church order is part of the mysteries of the seventh seal, and the seven thunders capstone has come back under the seventh seal. That's why that we have the word, and everything we do must stay within the framework of the word, and that is exactly why we have church order even in a mechanical form, because it is the guarantee to keep out the evil. The gifts are set in order, as we saw in Brother Branham's life, in Ephesians, the third chapter, 20:21, he said, Now unto him that's able, who is able to exercise his, who, no, pardon me, now unto him who in the exercise of his power, which is at work within us, is able to do infinitely beyond our highest prayers or thoughts. To him be glory in the church by one Christ Jesus and to all generations, world without end. Amen. Now, we saw that in Brother Branham. See? Absolutely. Now, here were all nine gifts, but none could operate apart from God's jurisdiction. And that is exactly what we saw in 1 Corinthians 12, 4-11. Now, listen, this is the thing we're looking at. This is the thing that I feel I saw years ago, and I showed you back as far as 1975 or before, that the reason the gifts could not operate, even under the mechanical jurisdiction that Brother Branham set in the church, because the people were still back in Pentecost who wanted to make a sideshow of it, who wanted to feel that they had something, rather than have the spirit of obedience and servitude to want to really help somebody. Unless there's a cry in the heart to see things right in your own life and you have lined up, there is no use going to that room. For though something great comes out of the room and you yourself are a mess, you have built a deck of cards. Now, I'm not have to call names, but you know what happened overseas. It became a deck of cards. So will this church be a deck of cards. So will mine be a deck of cards. Look, we're past fooling ourselves. We're past kidding ourselves. I like to live in fantasy and make-believe. I've done it for years, but I've come to the place, and I should have been there years ago, I'm going to have to face the music. That's all there is to it. Don't kid yourself. Everything's going to be brought into account. We're getting ready for a showdown. It's been manifested what some have in their hearts already. You've got people to try to cover up. Forget it. Before it's over, your pastor and I and all of you will be manifested exactly who and what you are. Come on. And let's not be hypocrites. And the first place we got to start is judgment in the house of God, which is a self-judgment, and the renewing of the mind. Then God's got something to work with, see? Now, see? This is exactly, as I said, 1 Corinthians 12, 4-11. And we read about it here. Diversities of gifts, same Spirit, different ministrations, same Lord, operates different ways, same God. But the manifestation of the Holy Ghost, every man a prophet of all. And one is given this, one is given that, but is given sovereignly by Almighty God. Now, this goes, you can see then, where Galatians 5, 22 and 23 fits in. But the fruit of the Spirit, that's got to be there. Now, some folks says that's got to be there, hang the gifts. And some say the gifts got to be there, hang the fruit. Well, the fruit hanging there is one with the gifts hanging there. Now, you can mess with either one of them. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. And they that are Christ are crucified, the flesh afflictions are of. Now we let it, we see the picture right there, is that there is a spirit in the bride that whatever is manifested will be according to the word and the life which is in Christ. Now, the gifts were set in order in the church for a certain purpose in 1 Corinthians 12, 18 to 27. I think you read that for yourself. In there, the foot will not say, well, I'm bigger than you and this fellow bigger than me and so on. But notice in verse 25, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the care, same care one for another. Now it tells you right here that the manifestation of the lateral, the true Spirit of God, having all this within it, which can manifest tremendously in power and so on, where God would not even stop Moses from striking the rock. He didn't paralyze his arm. He went right ahead and let it go. Now the thing is, we're looking at, is that the members should have the same care one for another. It's a mutual. Look at, let's face it, brother, sister. This finger here, I caught that finger in a gear. All right, didn't do it any good, did it some harm. But the light in me and all the resources necessary to help that finger went to bat for that finger just the same as if I'd had my eyeball thrust out.
You say, well, Brother Bill, I don't think that your body would be that way. Now, you see, the body would recognize the eye. It's tender and more necessary and blabbity, blah, blah, blah. Now, come on, you're just blabbity, blah, blah, blah. That's all you are, blabbermouth. No? Well, we love our pastor, but I can't stand that poor old gal over there. Well, something wrong with you. Something wrong with me. See? Gifts, anything, I don't care if it does come by the Holy Ghost, can be schismatic in people and amongst people if the rest isn't there. See? That spirit. All you've got is a schism in the long run. And what does it profit? Tells you that in 1 Corinthians 13. So what if we do stand on a letter and don't recognize the life which is with the letter? Then it isn't going to work. So what I'm telling you is this. You recognize the mechanical first, and then you say, now God, look, I recognize the mechanical. I see just where it is. I give it back to you, Lord, and you anoint it. And we sit together, sup, and that life comes in, and my life begins to be expansive and change, and it begins to radiate the life of Jesus Christ. See, because you see, the former rain, brother, sister, came at the time of the latter rain. It was already here. Therefore, brother, sister, you and I have to already have the Holy Ghost in order for that in the Holy Ghost to come forth. Well, there's no one with an excuse today. We're going on. Now, people actually tried and were allowed of God to make a show of the gifts instead of the purpose of God. 25 and 6. There'd be no schism in the body, but that the members should have same care one another. And one member suffer, all members suffer. One member be honored, all members rejoice. See, but they became schismatic. That's like Brother Branham said, God gave us a way to marry our wives and be happy with them, to stay with them. And God gave us a way to have a bride down here and to be at peace and love. Now, God said this would occur in the last day. What was back in the first day? A show of the gifts. And schisms in the body. And said in the book of Acts, the second chapter, he distinctly said 16 and 17, he'd pour his spirit upon all flesh in the last day. And he said, your sons and your daughters prophesy. And he said, your old men see dreams and visions. And on my servants, men's servants, and on my handmaids, I'll pour the spirit in the same day to do the same things. And at that time, when everybody is under an anointing or a true baptism with the Holy Ghost, then comes the great tribulation. At the end time. Now here we are. But he told us the secret, Matthew 24:24-25. The elect would not be deceived. Because these would not be within the framework of the word. They would have left it. The bride has the word and knows what to do with it. And or she will keep still. Why? Because headship is Christ. And now the headship or the capstone is down. Don't ever think that picture of the pyramid is right. It was right in the day when Brother Branham showed that capstone in 62. But he said on page 47, I think, Statsbury Man, he said, see those little lines coming down? That was the Holy Spirit coming down through the Word of God into a bride. But he said, he's all here now. Then there's no more to come down. And he said, the capstone had come down. Not Christ physical. But the Word is down now. It's all down. That's going to put a bride in your rapture. The same one that brought the shout is here with the voice. And the same one of the voice is here with the trumpet. To take us up, see? Now notice the headship is of Christ. The headship came back in Ephesians 1:15-18. Read it for yourself if you've been through it. So at the end time, here we are in Acts 3:19, in the very presence of God, in order to be restored right back, and restoration storing back as a bride that has the Word and knows what to do with it, with the headship of Christ, and she is a fully manifested Christ the Word. You see, I don't see it. I don't care what you see. Believe it. Listen, you follow what I'm saying? I'm going to go back to Hebrews because you don't believe me. You just part believe me. And I'm right with you. I partly believe myself too. Third, beginning here. Concerning Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, dwellers in tabernacles, heirs of the promise, look for a city. Verse 10, it hath foundation. The builder maker is God. And then Sarah conceived. And there sprang even from the two. And they as good as dead. Stars innumerable. By like the sand innumerable. Now verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promise. But having seen them afar off, were persuaded them and embraced them, confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. Those people today have received the promise they're resurrected with Christ. Now, for they that say such things were seeking and were a part of what we're seeking. We belong. We're it. They declare plainly
they seek that country. In other words, they're identified. Not one of us today can be a part of that new Jerusalem, standing here in human flesh to be changed to immortality. Outside, we declare back that word to God and stay with the promise until we become the living word of God manifest. But it's got to be in there, see? Now it says here, and truly if they had been mine for that country, it actually said if they had kept in mind, they would have returned. See? Why do you think people are going back to Pentecost right now, leaving this message, latter rain and the whole thing? And all of these things are kind of conjured up because they can't stay with the Word of God. Flat, plain. They can't wait for it. I've told your ears, I think I'll be dead before the rapture takes place. Say, Brother Vail, don't Brother Vail me. What's the difference? Going to deny what the prophet said? He said, there's no difference. What does it matter if I'm dead and you're dead? No problem. If every church messenger had to die, I would consider it must be a pretty great honor to die. I just beat you to it, is all. So, you can keep on walking here if you want. I'd just sooner be taken off the field and go up there where the rest are waiting. When you see a phony body, then come on down, beat you to the punch. Stay with the Word. That's what I'm trying to show you. Don't get all conjured up in yourself. See? Now, as we have seen, and we have seen the restoration, just like 1 Kings 18:36 to 37. Let's go back and see it. And I'm getting down to a slow trot here, so I'll get you out of here quick as I can. Not that I'm worried about you getting out of here quick. I don't worry about that. I won't bug you for a long time after today. The plague of the locust only occurs every so long. 1836-37, it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, and that's the evening hour we are in now, that Elisha the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, that I am thy servant, that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and thou hast turned their heart back again. Now notice, after the turning, verse 38, Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. Now, after the turning. Now notice, after the turning, over here in the book of Acts. I already quoted to you. Second chapter. When the Spirit of God comes down in restoration. Verse 19, I'll show wonders and above signs, earth beneath, blood and fire and smoke. And the sun be turned to darkness, moon to blood before the great and notable day of the Lord. When the hearts of the children are turned back, there's one thing left. Tribulation. The bride escapes it. Now, at this point we are watching for the adoption and manifestation that goes plumb into the resurrection. And just to get this even plainer, we go back to Pentecost. And here at Pentecost we see a wonderful sight. Now I'm not going to read all these verses because time's run out. Acts 2:42-43 is adding to the church. 46-47, adding to the church. Acts 8:9-17, adding to the church. 26-40, adding to the church. 9-16, they keep adding, and you get on down into 10:1-6, 9-20, 13:1-2, 14:8-10, and 16:16-18, and you begin to find that the power of God is being manifested. As the bride starts coming in, the Spirit of God starts working through her. And there's signs and wonders and lives that are lived. And the people start coming in. For the Holy Ghost has supplied in the church that which is necessary to cause the church to grow. But He does the baptizing into. That's the one thing nobody else can do. Everything else is in the bride. Everything else is in her. See? But only Christ can do take that final step. For one sows and one waters, but God gives an increase. Now, never forget that bride was straight with the Word. And when Jesus said, go all the world and preach the gospel and baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, they knew exactly what He meant was to baptize in the name which was Lord Jesus Christ. How could a person freshly full of the Holy Ghost receive anything contrary to whose Spirit it was? Proper way with the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Now, let's remember that church not only had 1 Corinthians 12, but it had Romans 12. Now, I'm right back again to the people who always want to put their sights on those nine manifestations. There are not only nine manifestations. You've got a fivefold ministry. You've got two more that God allows. And you've got hundreds of gifted people in the church. See? Otherwise, how did David write songs? Spiritual songs to God. How do people serve? They give. And we talked about those women that took people in their homes, that washed people's feet, that sacrificed. See? That cared. Those are ministries. Now we've got them all around us, have always had them. And with that, read Galatians, the 5th chapter. Now I'm trying to show you here, these ministries are not just 9 ministries of 1 Corinthians 12. There is also the 24th and 5th chapter of Galatians. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections thereof. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now it tells you, letting us know that if we are full of the Holy Ghost and could believe for it, then, brother, sister, we can believe for the walk that's in the Holy Ghost. See? Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Now, that's a warning. A man full of the Holy Ghost can do those things. Just like Brother Brown said, a man full of the Holy Ghost and having gifts, the devil could come right in the scene and use it. Why? Because the body is dead because of sin. But you see, people go by experience and they don't reach out and say, I don't care what my flesh says. I don't care what anybody says or experience. I believe the living God. And when you give back to God what He gave, then He comes in and supper and makes it real. See, the woman always gives back to the man what he provides. And if we do not give back to him this word and this provision, the anointing cannot fall. Otherwise, I do not know what Bible is all about, and I would lose my interest in it. But I'm not going to. Now, be not desirous of vainglory. Now, let's watch over here in Hebrews, the 10th chapter. Notice again. It said, don't be that way, but it says, be this way. Now, and let us hold fast the confession of our faith without wavering, because He is faithful, not you and me. The only thing we got to be faithful in is to say what He said. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. And that needs to go around exciting people to being better, to being finer. See? To be more persuaded of the Word of God, that power lies in you. Not forsaking some of yourselves together, as a man or some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approach. In other words, at the end time, there is a tremendous need for a ministry, especially amongst the men. Yes. To go and encourage whole families are necessary. Yes. See? Women to teach their daughters to be faithful and true, to stand with the whole truth, you see? There, that's true now. Also Galatians. 6th chapter 1 and 2. Brethren, if a man be overtaken the fault, you to spirit to restore such a one in spirit of meekness, concerning yourself lest you be tempted. Bury one another's burden, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Be not weary in well doing, for in due season we'll reap if we faint not. And again, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them that are the household of faith. Now, this is not something that anybody can go by. See how I got it made. See? This is through the Spirit of living God. And I'll discuss that this evening with you. When I go into how that one suffers, all suffer. But there's a suffering that comes in the church that people bring upon themselves with their foolishness. See? That's different. See? Now, by the Holy Spirit, we have this in our lives. Now, Genesis, remember Genesis 4 and 9. Now, that's where God spoke to Cain. And he said, where is your brother? He said, am I my brother's keeper? Well, let's find out. Let's go to Romans. The 12th chapter. And in the 12th chapter, read verse 10. Be kindly affectionate one another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. You had a preacher one day told me, he said, you know, Brother Baylor, there's a time when I almost thought as much as you if I did it myself. And I thought, God have mercy. I always think more of people than I do of myself unless they really let me down and prove that they are a mess. I can go to any one of you and admire you, and I wouldn't admire myself one little bit. You say, can people be this way? Why do you think it's put in the Bible? I like this book. It is a perfect expose. As one man said, I know the Bible is true because no man would expose himself the way that Bible exposes people. You think you'd want to have your name with old, not Jacob's, but... Oh, I forget his name, but the first son anyway, with all his shenanigans, Reuben and the whole bunch of them. Phew, what a mess. Okay, also, 1 Thessalonians, the fourth chapter. And in verse 9, but as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write you, for you yourselves are taught of God to love one another. Now listen, brother, isn't that nice? You are taught of God. In other words, look, if the love of God is in my heart by the Holy Ghost, how can I not show that same love out here? Now I'm going to give you a clincher, so don't go away. We're going to go to 2 Corinthians now. And don't be nervous, this is wonderful. The 10th verse, to whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgive anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ. And Brother Branham said, I myself can forgive nobody but in the person of Christ. I myself, therefore, can love nobody but in the person of Christ. So therefore, we can and do accept the fact. Of ourselves, we can do nothing. But on the other hand, we do accept the fact and demand it of ourselves to believe that in Him we can and we do and we will. And you keep presenting that, and you keep presenting it, and you keep presenting it, bringing every thought into captivity unto obedience to Him. Then the flesh becomes transformed, and one day by this word there's going to be a bride walk to the tree of life, and she'll not miss one heartbeat, she'll not miss one step, one eye blinking. She's going to be transformed as a sweep goes over her, and she's immortal. Amen. The same thing with the children's bread. Hold it there before God. We're in the very Holy of Holies by being immersed in Christ and He in us. See what I'm trying to tell this morning? All right, now, therefore we understand Ephesians 3 and 20 again. Now unto Him who in the exercise of His power, that is at work within us, is working, is living, is able to do infinitely above, beyond our highest prayers or thoughts. How long have you been praying for more victory and you've fallen flat? How many times you thought how nice it would be? Then believe that it is. See? Brother Branham said at this hour, all that He is, we are. I can't find that in John. I don't suppose I'm not that smart to turn it. Where in the world is it? But it says here, even as He is, so are we in this evil world. That's in John somewhere, 1 John somewhere. Second, who knows? In there it is. Same thing in our language. We must set to His credit that God is true. Because I'm going to tell you, brother, the easiest thing in this world is to make God a liar and be offended. Don't ever go against the Word. Now, just the last thoughts here. We see in Galatians 2 and 20, where Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ, that's a baptism. Nevertheless, I live. See? But Christ liveth in me. The life that I now live in the flesh, live by the faith of the Son of God, loving, gave Himself for me. Now, in closing, just let me try to give you the picture very clearly. The headship of Christ truly cast down all that is against Him, as in 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. And I haven't read it before, just quote it a little bit. It's casting down reasonings and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Why? Because the weapons of your warfare are not carnal, but mighty, pulling down the strongholds. That's the Spirit of God Himself. The only strength you and I have got is in Christ, and that is by faith. You've got to believe it. Then it'll work. Bring to captivity all the exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring to captivity every thought and obedience of Christ. See? It makes us bond slaves. But it is not like 1 Corinthians 12 and 1. In other words, those peculiar manifestations that can come on everybody and into everybody. It is a life of love and faith. Nothing stands, in other words, by itself. And the way one can know if the headship is Christ is by the restored and revealed Word. All leadings and all actions will live with every harmonized word which has been given us today. That is why it reads as it does in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, where Paul is speaking concerning what people made a big issue only of those things which were manifested in the church that made people look good, made some feel good, and made some people feel bad. Peculiar manifestation. Though I speak with the tongue of men and angels, have not love, just a tinkling cymbal sounding brass. By the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries, have all knowledge. You know this message from A to Z. Have all faith, go and raise the dead, move the mountains, and have not love, I am nothing. That's right. So I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, give my body burn, have not love, it profits nothing. Love suffers long as kind, charity envieth not, charity bonds not itself, not puffed up. Love leaveth itself unseemly, seeks not her own, not easily provoked. Rejoice in not iniquity, but rejoice in truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Now prophecies are going to fail. Tongues are going to cease. Knowledge is going to vanish.
because we know in part and we prophesy in part. When that which is previous come, that which is part is done away. When I was a child, spoke as a child, understood as a child, thought as a child. When I became man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. And brother, sister, the face to face has come in the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we know exactly what the Word of God says, even though some places we don't yet understand it. But it's at this hour that Brother Branham said, he said, oh, that that sweet Spirit of Christ would be in the church all over the place, until the gifts, as it were put on a shelf. Now, that's what we're talking about today. We're talking about the bride. I don't care what she has from God, brother, sister. I don't care if she has acts which will make the world stand back and just say, how tremendous, how wonderful. That's not the secret. The secret is that there is something in the heart from God, which is the Holy Spirit, that as He cared for us and does for us and loves us and forgives us in every way, we manifest out here that very same thing. And that His jurisdiction, whatever it is, comes forth, is done in that Spirit. Therefore, anything else that comes forth apart from that Spirit, see, cannot be recognized by God. We'll go by the board as debt instead of honor under the glory of Almighty God. So we're trying to inculcate in this message this morning a distinctive spirit, brother, sister, that we know amongst ourselves, as Jesus, as Paul said, that I forgive in the person of Christ. And that means to forget it, to bear it in the sea of forgiveness. If a man fail many times, receive him again and again, see. Always abounding in that atmosphere, because that Holy Spirit has got to work out through here. And at the end time, we've been warned. Look, the miracles will be there. There'll be lots of evidence of love there. It looks like it. But he said they stay with the Word. Now then, you say, Brother Vail, I believe that we are one with the Word. And I'm going to tell you once more for the last time this morning, just keep giving it back to God in faith. As you give back to Him, you will become the Word of God in your flesh. Where Brother Branham said, when we receive that Word, and you know how you know you receive it? You give it back to Him. And then he says, yes, and I say, you are that Word. And we become that Word. You see, because it's got to be a God. So consider your brethren from now on. You see, I consider myself. Uh-uh. You got to consider your brother, because you see, the husband provides for the wife. And he loves her. He's got to cherish her. He's got to nourish her. He has become like her mediator to bring her into wedlock. He becomes like her intercessor to keep her and to help her. And we are our brother's keepers. Now let's begin to note from this time on, demand as we give back to God, Lord, I am that member who is reconciled with every member of the body of Christ. I am that one who will honor, prefer all above myself, and seek my brother's good instead of my own. If anyone will be put out, I'm willing to be put out. But I am going to be that member who is, I confess to be one in the vertical. I cannot be satisfied until I'm one in the horizontal. One out here at the brethren. Now look, keep giving it back. I am that one. I love my brother. Christ in me loves that brother. Christ in me forgives that brother. Christ does not hold him to account. How can I? You follow what I say now? If you're identified with Christ there, brother, sister, it's got to be out here. How can you say you love me if you don't love him? Because I put that love in there. Then it must be out here. Follow me? All right, look. The pressure's going to come. You've had some, but nothing what you will have. I've been called a devil and a witch, and I'm responsible for Brother Branham's death, according to what John Todd taught some one of my best friends. His son-in-law, as far as I know, the only source I can believe it ever came from, went to Todd and said, Lee Vail preached spiritual communion, Jeffersonville Tabernacle, which got the people in spiritism, and Brother Branham had to come back, and they programmed these men, this man, under influence of alcohol and hypnotism and drugs, to kill the prophet. And the best the man could say, well, I don't think Lee had anything to do with that. You think you had it? You ain't even born yet. But there's no hatred, no bitterness. But I just tell you one thing, I've learned this. I'll smile and be very nice. but I give myself into nobody's hands. Now, that's the secret right there. You don't give yourself into anybody's hands except Jesus Christ. Let Him direct you, and He'll tell you what to do and how to do it. See? The squeeze hasn't hit yet, but it's got to hit. It's good to get your practice now. It's good to get your sails set. Because if your sails are set wrong, when the hurricane comes, you'll capsize. But Brother Branham said the stabilizer has been set on our boats, and we'll crest every wave.
Amen.
Brother, sister, take that word that He said and give it back until He pours His oil of refreshing upon it. And we come forth in a spiritual revival or resurrection because we are that word. And the Word will manifest His Word. The Lord bless you. You caught it either or you didn't catch it. That's right. Heavenly Father, I'm so glad, Lord, that it all rests upon You and not upon me and not upon each other, except that we know that we are part of that Father. I'm so glad, Lord, that it all rests upon You and not upon me and not upon each other, except that we know that we are part of that glorious throng. And we know, Lord, that that glorious throng is going to be manifested so by the catching away of the rapture in Mount Zion, final showdown. In the meantime, Lord, I want to be as You know my heart, and I insist on doing this publicly and in private, that I am a part of You and You a part of me, so that we are one, and I am the same with my brethren, that we are one, and in Your person, which is the Holy Spirit, for I am in You and You in me, and You, Lord, therefore are the head. I can and do by the grace of God fulfill the Christ in me toward my brothers and sisters, even as that same Christ in me fulfilled that which was of God toward me, and it will work in both directions. My love for You, my love for the others. And we'll take no offense in anything whatsoever, though at times we might be saddened and a little bit hurt. It matters not, for these things must be. They must be. Then if they must be, then we must be able to handle them, and by the grace of God we do. Therefore, Lord, we come to the sea, as it were, of tranquility, not as men who land upon a moon and name something, but that rest which is by faith, that relaxation is here at this hour for Your people. For they know now in whom they have believed, and they have set their heart, their sails, and their stabilizers to give back to You what You gave them, and they will become in their flesh, manifestedly so, what they already are, which is the Word of God at this hour. What a tremendous thing that we can say it after a prophet. And we could not say it, Lord, except You vindicated it. And I'm not saying this, Lord, because You came to me and told me to say so. I'm only saying it, Lord, because the man that was vindicated said so, and I believe Your word of thus saith the Lord. And so, Father, this morning, we raise our hearts to You in adoration, that if we might be able to say with that woman who years ago said, well, I'm not what I want to be, and I'm not what I'm going to be, but thank God I ain't what I used to be, and thank God one of these days I will be what He said, because it'll be manifested. Not one word will fail. Lord, I stand on that today with Your people here, and that's all we're going to stand on, Lord. You, the High Priest of our confession, let the winds blow, let whatever comes. Father, we're going to stay with it. We're going to stay with it, because like the prophet, we don't go by experience. We go by the Word of God. I believe that, Lord. I'm standing on it. And I'm not standing here, Lord, and You know my heart as though I'm boasting. I'm standing here, Lord, in fear and trembling. With reality of myself, I couldn't do that. But with You, all things are possible. So I can do it. Because You, in the person of Christ, I can forgive and forget. In the person of Christ, I can love. In the person of Christ, I can serve. There's nothing, Lord, because You said so. And I'm going to keep giving it back to You, Lord. Kind of late in the day, I know. Kind of old, Lord, and when I've had so many turns at other kind of ropes and dealings. But, Father, I'm in this corner now, and that's the corner I'm staying with. I'm not looking forward or backward. I'm not looking sideways. I'm just looking at this one thing, from now on. As far as I'm concerned, Lord, it's all run out but this. Just with the Word I'm staying. I believe these people are doing the same thing. Being transformed, Lord, as never before. Every one of us. Because they're not one of us different or above or beyond. We are one. And unto the King, eternal and immortal, is the only wise God, be all power and honor and glory through Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's sing a little song, Oh, How I Love Jesus. You know, we may think we are unique in that respect, and we are, because we're members in particular. But remember, the person beside you and the person away from you, Jesus loved him just the same. He is just as loved of the Father. You know, it's like Brother Branham said about his two kids. Becky got there first. He said, I've got all of Daddy. And Sarah said, yeah, but Daddy's got all of me. Wouldn't matter which way you put it. That's the kid's father. Not like when you say he's got all of me or I've got all of him. He's our Heavenly Father. One with Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus said, when you pray, pray, our Father, yours and mine. Our Father.
Yep.
I hope we caught something this morning. If you didn't catch too much, don't feel bad. Just confess it. Just confess it, that's all. Sure. I never learned to like to eat sauerkraut in one sitting. But man, I can sure push her down there. Took a while to say, I'm one with him, he's one with me. I'm going to keep doing it. He said, Brother Bill, what if you weren't? So what? I heard the invitation. I'd come. It's up to him. I said, I'm one with you, Lord. I heard it. Here I am. He'll answer back. All right. The Lord bless you, brother. Amen.